God is good. All right, all the time. Wow, all right, it's everywhere we do this. All right, good. Last week, we started a new series called Dangerous Prayers, and we talked about the Lord's Prayer, right, Him teaching us how to pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Have you been living that this week? Have you been praying that in your heart this week, that His kingdom, His will reigns within you? That's one of those dangerous prayers that we don't even really think about. We started off with that. I wanted that to be the foundation of this series, that we come together and we realize that God needs to rule in here, that God needs to be in control, and it means every day, almost every moment, that I need to hand that over to Him, right? Just give Him the keys to my heart. And then in the same turn, He feeds us physically, spiritually, right? When we depend on Him, we rely on Him, guess what that increases? Our faith, right? And even in the moments that just feel like despair, when we pray that and we believe that, we know God is real and He provides spiritually and physically. The other aspect of that is repenting, asking God to forgive us of our debts, right? And in turn, we have to forgive those who have caused us pain. And at the very end of that, you know, He says kind of like amen, and then he gives a little more side note on what it really means to forgive. And if we're going to be able to accept God's forgiveness, we must forgive. Like, He tags that on for a really important message there within that. And we talked about that last week. We're going to talk about Psalms 139 tonight. Woo! It feels like I've been up that long, to be honest. It's been early. I'm sorry for my voice. Got some sinus, so I might put you to sleep while I'm up here, because I feel like I'm very monotone right now and really deep and raspy, right? I'll try to keep you engaged. I might put myself to sleep, so, you know, be aware, all right? We're going to be reading out of Psalms 139, but before we get to that, you can turn your Bibles if you want to, write your notes. I want to kind of talk about relationships, and, you know, I really am an expert at relationships. Why you laugh? I don't understand. I love watching how relationships work, right? Especially the beginning of, like, romance and dating and all that jazz. And you spiff yourself up, right? And you have friends, and hopefully they're good friends. They're not my kind of friends, where you go, hey, do I look good? And they go, yeah. And you walk out with toilet paper at the bottom of your shoe or something in your teeth, right? My friends, they were my kind of people, so we never looked out for each other. It was probably the opposite, right? But we'd always look out for each other. Later on in my marriage, I have noticed we're the go-tos to make sure we're doing things right, right? Like, we look at each other, well, she looks at me and says, hey, you could have done that better. Or, hey, the whole time you had stuff in your teeth. Been there, done that, right? Or, like, before, I like to give my wife a hard time. Before the pandemic hit, and she used to go to work, actually go to a place that had an office, she would have to get nice and look nice. Not to say she doesn't look nice every day. Man, I'm just getting myself in trouble all day, aren't I? Anyway, I like to play the role of, oh, is that what you're going to wear? And then walk out of the room and just go to work. Just drop that bomb right there. Oh, it works so well. I come home and she had a blessed day that day. It was so awesome, right? Yeah, she's not, oh man. 2 weeks ago, feel it. Anyway, I'm giving her a hard time because, like, what, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, how many weeks ago I said I was nervous about coming up here? I lost I was sitting there, and I lost full retention of what I was going to speak on that morning. And I looked at her and goes, oh, I need you to be praying for me because I don't know what I'm going to say. I've just totally blanked out, right? And I prayed, and she prayed, and I got home. And she goes, for, you know, not knowing what you're going to be speaking on, like, I knew what I was speaking on. I want you to understand, it just went blank. My mind does that sometimes. She said that I had a lot of words to say. And I was like, well, good. Good. Did you catch any of those? Get saved? I don't know. Just things I'm praying for, right? Anyway, relationships are tricky, right? One of the things that comes with relationships is accountability, maybe even critiquing. I've noticed through my years of driving with my wife, and I seem to be the one that always drives, there's something, hey, you missed a turn, or is this really where you're going to park? You're really close to that car in front of you. All those things, like, and I just would look at her and go, do you want to drive? No, you're doing good. Okay. I feel like I just failed a whole bunch of tests here for you in one moment. But no, all right. I'm giving my wife a hard time, and I gave myself a hard time for saying, I would really do that, but she always looked beautiful. Half the time she would say, I'd just get dressed in the dark, and she's like, really? Okay. Sure? Yeah, I'm fine with it. I'm a youth pastor at that time. It doesn't matter what I wear. Now I'm like, okay, I got to look somewhat professional, right? I try. I'm still working on that aspect. But relationships are interesting. Can you imagine going up to somebody and say, all right, this is our first time meeting. I come up to you after the lobby and say, how did I do? And you go, well, we're new. I don't really know him. All right, you did good. I really appreciate it. Can you imagine, I've had these experiences, the first time I've met somebody, we can tell you didn't put the work in. Oh, thanks. I appreciate that. Or you could have done, you know, it didn't really capture where I was, what I was going through. I kind of fell asleep while you were preaching. And I just kindly said back to the person, this was an honest conversation, except for my part. I wish I would have said, well, I accomplished my goal. I wanted you to have a good nap. No, I said, well, thank you, and walked back to my office and just crumbled, right? Also, within relationships with husband and wife, friends, two good friends, I have found myself and others in this same situation when you give criticism, what's the normal reaction? Defensive. You kind of go, well, you stink too, right? Well, you could have made dinner better than I. Come on, step up your game. We get defensive. It's just part of who we are sometimes, right? We don't like to be pointed out what's wrong. And this morning, I'm going to talk about a prayer that does that. David in Psalms 139, 23 through 24, search me, God. Know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in a way that's everlasting. It's kind of a simplistic prayer. It's one that when you read, okay, yeah, that's awesome for David. But what if we put ourselves in this moment with David and ask this same prayer with God? And we earnestly do it every day. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me. Know my anxious thoughts. How would you like his response? David, probably in this time, you can read 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel. That's kind of your homework this week. Just read 1 Samuel. It's kind of a fun book. Once you get past all the names and everything, it's full of drama. You know, just backstabbing, you know, people trying to kill other people. The Bible's crazy. It's fun to read. It's better than some of the movies out there. If you really read it, it's entertaining. but also life-changing, right? And in 1 Samuel, you have David, who's this courageous person who's loving his king, wants to stand up for a king, ruling, like he's winning all these battles, and he's just this warrior that's simple, that everybody loves, right? He just has everything kind of going for him. He's not the most handsome dude. He doesn't have everything, but everybody loves him because he just has this heart that I want to please my king, who is Saul, who's handsome and has everything. But he doesn't have the favor of the people. And so what does he do? Out of jealousy and out of frustration for what David is getting, he tries to kill David, this great servant of him, great warrior for him, right? And so David runs off. He hides. And there's a couple of moments in David's life during this time that he had an opportunity to take Saul out, to end him. And he would have been kind of justified for their time. And guess what I think he did in that moment? He prayed this prayer. Now think about it in that context. Search me, God. Know my heart. Test me. Know my anxious thoughts. Man, I just want to get, I'm scared to death that I'm gonna lose everything. I'm gonna die. I have this chance to murder somebody that I know wants me dead. These are not thoughts. He wants to be a man of God. That's his biggest honor. That's his biggest badge that he puts. He wants to be a man of God's own heart. That's who he wants to be. And he's thinking these thoughts, and he's praying this prayer. Know my anxious thoughts. See, there is no, if there is any offensive way in me, lead me in a way that's everlasting. You see how that becomes a dangerous prayer? Because what does it put first? It takes all that stuff that Saul was doing in that moment. And God probably tells him, love him. Now, right now, I wouldn't be around him. But I don't want you to ruin who you are, how I've created you. And if you murder him, you murder your heart, you murder your soul, you murder who you are and what I've created you to be. Think about that. See, David had so many times of that. And I start to think about how we deal with that in our own world. How we have probably this inclination of not knowing what our heart is. There was this a really good motivational speaker. And he called it the smell test. And what he did was say, all right, I want you to breathe as heavy as you can. Just do it in your mouth, in your hands, and just see if you can't smell it. And usually you cannot smell your own breath unless it's really, really bad for some reason, right? And it's really weird because the nose that is the closest to your mouth is your nose. Think about that. The one that should be able to smell everything that comes out right now should be your nose, shouldn't it? But we are not built that way. And it's weird to think about. But other people around you are sometimes going, oh, he had a lot of coffee today. Right? Like you can smell other people's breath, especially if it's really bad. I felt like every history teacher, if you're a history teacher, I'm sorry. Still getting it. They just had that overwhelming coffee smell whenever they spoke. And they could smell it. And what the motivational speaker said, listen, we have a hard time being self-aware that we really don't know who we are. Constantly through our development as adolescents and even as adults, we have asked, who am I? And we put ourselves in these boxes like, I'm retired, I'm a teacher, I'm a doctor, I'm all these things, but it doesn't really define who we are. And we can have people come around and say, man, you are the friend that I have needed. You are there for me, and I don't even realize it. Or, you say things, and when you say them, they hurt to the core. You think you might be making jokes, but they pierce me. And without that being said, we wouldn't know that we stink. And one of the things that this prayer does is make us self-aware of where we are spiritually. Think about that, being earnest about saying, "Search me, God. Look into my heart today. Is it where it needs to be? Show me something that maybe I am unaware of that's unhealthy, that I have been holding on to, that I didn't realize. Maybe today I need to be a new person and repent. And I never knew it, except for this moment where I asked, please search me. And God reveals it. He reveals it. One of those things we find in Jeremiah. We have the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? This is where the heart reigns. It's deceiving. There's a lot of people that say, I'm good. And they start to believe it, but the reality is they're broken. They're hurting. And they can't explain why. And this prayer answers it. The moment we engage with God, the moment that we have that moment that's real, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, is the same as search me, God. Know me. Can you imagine having that same thing with a friend that was real, saying, hey, I trust you. I have coffee almost every Thursday with Ryan Lutz. I love that guy. He's 28 years old. He's in a different stage of life. He just has a two-year-old now. He's still not getting much sleep. Trying to figure out what life is all about as a dad and a husband. And we get to come together and we talk about life. But more importantly, we have moments where we discuss, hey, what are you seeing me that I need to be working on? How should I be praying for God in me this week? What do you see? You heard my complaints. You've heard where I'm at. You know, we have those real conversations at a coffee shop about, you know, our spouses, about our family, about jobs, about life in general. And it can get kind of negative sometimes. And we both can get caught up with it. And in that moment when we ask, hey, what do you see in me that I need to work on? And what's awesome about it is there's been moments that it's been really quiet in response. And I thought, oh, I just lost a friend. Or I've responded by going, that hurt. And I've walked away going, I really appreciate that because I know I need to change that in my heart. And I would never have seen it before if I didn't ask a friend who was also with me praying this. You see, church, this is what we're called within our relationships. And when we pray this prayer, we don't just do it as a extra part of our week. It's not part of a dinner. Right before dinner, we say, hey, search me, God. Make me not choke on this food. It's not a game with God. It's real. You see, we live in a world, too, that's treacherous and scary. And we live right now where teens, Generation Z is the most anxious generation ever. Their anxiety levels and stress are through the moon, through the roof. Because why do you think, where do they get their peace from? They don't. And guess who displays that for them? Us. If we're not being a symbol of peace, if we're not finding Jesus or asking God to search us and find the places where we need to improve, the places where God needs to move in, where we have not allowed him to reside, guess what? There is a generation watching that and seeing that we are not living a genuine life with God, that we're playing a game. This prayer doesn't allow us to play a game. If we pray this, God will earnestly move and say, let me show you. Are you ready for it? Are you ready to hear this, what I have for you? See, the reality for us too within God is it's usually a really one-sided relationship. Can you imagine having a friend, some of you might, that the only time they want to be your friend is if you're there to help them. Can you imagine having a spouse that is just one-sided? Never listened to any of your conversation, didn't want to hear you, didn't want to know you really, just wanted to be, just take part of what you gave to the relationship. Can you imagine that? If you were on that side of it? It wouldn't be fun. It wouldn't be fair, would it? And a lot of times you probably go to bed, this isn't fair. And there's many times I think in our relationship with God, God is not like this whiny God up there, but he's like, this isn't fair. I need to give you what I need to give you. You need to receive it. But most of the time, well, how do we pray? God, give me this, give me this, give me this. I need this. God, I need this job. God, I need this. I just want to feel better. God, just please. And the reality is when we say, search me, God, move, like what the difference there is, you are giving permission to God to manipulate your life to be healthier and more in the image of what he created. Do you understand that? Instead of us being more concerned of what we need, God will give us how we need to live if we're willing to listen, right? In Samuel, he said, you know, but now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart, appointed him ruler of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command. Here you have David being compared to after his man, a man of his own heart. You see, when you pray this prayer, when you pray this prayer and you earnestly mean it, guess what you get entitled? A man or a woman after his own heart. And what does that look like? How does that sound? How do you live that out? How do the people around you, when they cannot not be impacted by you, if you have his heart, if you're a man after him, the people that you come in contact will see that, will know that, will be moved by that. Tim Lorash was a man after God's own heart. He was a youth pastor here and just changed my world. And I could see in him, in that time of his life, allowing God to use him. And in my very first time meeting him, it didn't matter. He didn't care that I was this little punk kid. He cared what God was doing, and he went up to me and said, hey, we have a youth group here. Please come back. Love to get to know you. Love to be a part of your life. And then all of a sudden, blossom this relationship that I would do things, prank him, get him in trouble with his wife, and all he did was search me, God, know that I am my heart, test me and love, so I can love these teenagers. And how I know he prayed that is because his response was always out of love. His response was always going, all right, How can I confront this kid that I know that's going down a path that's not healthy, that is not godly? that is not righteous. Too much. If he wouldn't have done that, if he wasn't praying this prayer, if he wasn't living this out, he would have just been fine with me being in attendance here, being a body here, and not part of the body here. Do you understand? Too many times as a church, we get more worried about the numbers than the souls. We get that mixed up. And the reality is, when we live this out, when we are men and women after the heart of God, we care about the people that we come in contact for their heart to be rejuvenated with God, to come alive with God, to be reborn with God. That's what we concern about. That's what we worry about, not the numbers that are sitting here this morning. It's a hard one to kind of swallow sometimes. I usually don't get an amen with that. But that's where we stand with God when we pray this prayer. The Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules they have been taught. This is out of Isaiah 29:13. See, when we pray the prayer that, search me, O God, it gets rid of all the traditions. It gets rid of all the righteousness, and we find the holiness of God. And we start to understand that as I pray this prayer, that as I search me, God, and know my heart, when I pray that prayer, I no longer can just talk the talk, but I have to walk the walk. You get that? That's why it's such a dangerous prayer. Like, it's not for us to play around. It's not for us to come here and show up on a Sunday night, morning and say, I checked the box this week. It's not for us to come here and, you know, I got entertained. I got the warm fuzzies this morning. It's not for that. We come here this morning to say, your kingdom come, your will be done. Now search me, God, and know my heart. And we go tomorrow, and we go this afternoon, and we live in that. Now, there's some things, I think, that step in the way of this, praying this. Let me bring this back up, sorry. There's things that step in the way of us wanting to pray this. Half the time, this is from my own experience, from my own conversations that I've had with people, that they just don't want to face the truth. They don't want to hear where God needs to move in their life. They're happy and content. They've been force-fed their spiritual life from day one and have banked on that. Whereas God doesn't want us to sit still spiritually. He wants us to move, to be where he's leading us, right? Other things, calls us to change. We don't like that. We're too self-absorbed. We don't have time to face reality. It's easier to pray for others to change, right? And I've never even thought about it. Maybe you reside in that this morning, that asking this prayer has never even ran across your mind. Maybe we've been so concerned about others going, hey, they need a change. They need a change, not I, God. I'm perfect. I'm good. We're good. And it's easy to look and go, especially in the world that we live in, it's messed up. We can watch the news, we can watch social media, we can watch Facebook, and we can see we live in a messy world, right? It's easy to see that. What's Jesus say about the plank? Anybody? Just pull it out of my own eye, right? It's easier to see the little splinter in somebody else, but that plank in my own eye, it's really difficult. What you? Where? Oh, thank you. That's from our quizzer. Anyway, we get wrapped up with not our own stuff, but other people's stuff, and justify it that we are righteous because we're not them. See what they're doing? At least not, I'm not doing that. And it does not lead to this prayer. You understand that? Like, it doesn't lead to this prayer when we say that. It justifies us to stay still and right where we're at and say, we're okay. That's not healthy. I think also we're afraid to change. I think if we prayed this as a church, as a body, you know, not just Springfield First, but just a denomination or multi, the church, if we said, search me, God, know my heart, as a church body, what would he say? Would he tell us some of the things that we worship is not him? Some of the things that we get hung up is not him? Can you let it go of these golden calves? We get wrapped up with things that are not God, and we call them our way to worship God. Think about that. Right? Search me, O God. So what happens when I do pray this? What happens when I search me, God, know my heart, know my anxious ways? What happens? God reveals this thing. He reveals things for you. Right? He will reveal what is in your heart that is not godly. It's the ultimate flashlight in a dark room. There are no shadows in this moment to hide behind when you pray this. He reveals what's hidden in you that maybe you didn't even know. And now you have to respond to it. So that's where you reside in this. When you pray this, how are you going to respond to God when he reveals what he says? Okay, you need to take care of this. It's unhealthy. If I was still the same Ben Alexander when we first got married, we would not be probably married. I was selfish. I thought it was all about me within this. And it's the same thing. If my wife was still the same Michelle of when we got married and not growing and maturing together as a couple, there's something wrong there. And we probably would not have made it. Guess what? The same goes true with us and God. There have been times that I've heard teens talk about, man, I heard God's voice. I got saved. I was excited. And then a couple of years later, I can't hear him anymore. I have a hard time seeing him. And scripture doesn't, it's not as fruitful anymore. And I have one question for them. Is God trying to lead you and you just sat still? And as God tries to lead, guess what? His voice becomes more distant. Because he's wanting you to move forward with him. But you've banked on that one moment of being saved and just resided in that one moment. I really think, as somebody that likes sociology within the church, I start to think about how people get saved in that moment. And there's a great preacher or great music or it was a tent revival and all these things. And we bank on that being our relationship with God instead of God using that and bank on God. Do you understand? So like if you think that tent revivals are the thing because that's where I got saved, the reality is God just used that tent revival. He doesn't reside there. Like he doesn't reside in the favorite songs that you have. He wants you to grow with him. He wants you to move with him. The same likes that I had when I was 18 are totally different now. God desires a relationship with you, and he's saying in this prayer, if you search me, God, and know my heart, he's going to reveal the things that he knows that are not healthy. So what do I do with it again? So you have the potential to being convicted, to being corrected, to redirecting your life, to change the way you see yourself, to change how others see you. Let me reread those real quick. If you pray this, you have the potential to being convicted. And it's not for a crime, but it's for something that blocks a relationship between us and God. You have the potential to be corrected. Do you know what the word repent means? Turn around. Yeah, right there. Turn around. Not like this, not a 360, right? That's not repenting. It's a 180, right? It's I was going this direction, and all of a sudden, okay, forever. Forever. It's not even a looking back. Repent means forever from this point on. I'm going this direction. Do you understand that? It's not like, oh, what? No. It is repent means I am forever going this way, which is towards God. Not towards this life that was self-serving. Not towards this life that was about me. Repent means I'm going this way. You pray this prayer, that can lead to that. It can give you a new life. And the things that were hindering you between a relationship between you and God, you repent from that, and it doesn't hold on you anymore. Now, there might be moments that you're enticed. There might be moments that you're like, I can't. And guess what? God, just keep praying. God's there. David had those moments in his life. And plus, David was, at the end of his life, was messed up big time. This man after God's heart did some things that were not man after God's heart. You understand? And this is who he called. God is good. So this week, the band's going to come up or whoever's going to come up, and we've got a song. And during this song, this is what I'm going to ask you. All right? I'm going to ask you, sing along, but also pray this prayer. Not in a way that is simplistic. Oh, Pastor told me to do it. But in the way to honestly ask God, search my heart. God, know who I am and what I need and how I need to change. If there's anything that keeps me from you, show it and reveal it.
Search.